Poor pigs. Even the prophet Isaiah railed against a rebellious people with evil ways, equating the eating of pork with living in tombs, about as low as you can get. But you know, pigs are intelligent, curious, and social. They're drought resistant, requiring less than half the water needed by cows. And they root through trash, turning smelly garbage into nutritious food. They also are reviled. The Hebrew Bible and Islamic Quran both forbid eating pig flesh. And there are 2 billion people. So why this widespread taboo? Bronze Age people, they loved pork. But here's a clue. It was difficult to tax. So goats and cattle took over, lucrative milk products, wool and leather. And who doesn't love fried chicken when it was introduced to the place? Of course, from the Exodus story, you had Egyptians getting sick with trichinosis from undercooked pork, while Hebrew slaves, following Moses' discovery in the Sinai wilderness of a diet called kosher, were safely eating roasted lamb. It was trying to remind people of their pastoral ancestors that the Judean priests banned eating pork, plus their rebellion against pork-loving Romans. Thank God Palestinian Christians not wed to kosher still love pork barbecues. To this very day, it's against the law to raise pigs on Israeli soil. But at a kibbutz over there, we found enterprising young Jewish men raising pigs, but on wooden platforms 6 inches above the ground. There's always a way. Unlike Muslims and Jews, Palestinian Christians and Americans still love pork. And except for kosher cafes, it's on the menu in Jerusalem. Now, the Bible is scripture because it keeps being relevant to the times in which people live, bearing witness to a moral compass in the universe. Like words from today's Hebrew scripture, "Keep off," it says, "do not come near me, or I might sanctify you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils and ever-burning fire. See, it is inscribed in front of me. I will not be silent until I have settled my account with them for their sins and their father's sins, says the Lord. I will pay them back in full all they deserve." I believe that. And this bombing of Iran scares me to death. It's not right. There is a reckoning we need to hear. Karma works, cause and effect. We reap what we sow. I do hope our nation hears. Perhaps it's starting to wake up. It better, we better. Enter Jesus. He was stepping ashore from the Galilee when a man from the town possessed by devils came toward him. Nowadays, we call that possession mental illness, with the possible side of epilepsy causing seizures. Luke uses the story to announce Jesus as the Son of the Most High. But look what Jesus did. He didn't tell him what you suspect most did. "Get out of here, weirdo. Get some clothes on." Calmly, seeing beyond his nakedness, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Can you imagine? One's name is crucial to who you are. In the second creation story, the first job God orders Adam and Eve to do, name all the animals, for nothing exists until it has a name. Important to know the difference between a scorpion and a frog. "What is your name?" Jesus asked. In that moment, I'm sure Jesus made eye contact, seeing him as a human being. I must confess, this idea brought tears to my eyes, and I thought, oh my God. The man told Jesus, my name is Legion, and I keep hearing all these voices. In a chorus of pain, those voices plead with Jesus like an ancient Greek chorus. Don't send us into the abyss, back to that land of massive confusion, where there is no hope, only despair. Feelings I've heard described in anguish by people with mental illness. Enter pigs, a herd feeding on the mountain. Now you've heard of shepherds for sheep. Pigs were tended by swineherds. Those confusing inner voices inside Legion pleaded for a release, a transfer. And Jesus motioned, go for it. The mental illness came out of the man and went into those pigs, unclean anyway. And the herd charged down the hill into the Sea of Galilee and were drowned. A poignant parable. In the story, that's how Jesus got rid of those voices. Weird what happened. Seeing what had happened, as the story goes, the swineherds ran back to town and told them what had happened. And when townspeople came to Jesus, they found the man sitting calmly at Jesus' feet, listening, fully clothed in his full senses, his right mind. Their reaction at such a sight, a state of panic at such a force, even a healing one. Legion wanted to stay and follow, but as you heard, Jesus sent him away. Go back home. Report all that God has done for you. Not what I did, but God. So, as the scripture says, the man went off and spread throughout the town all that Jesus had done for him. That's our calling, isn't it? So many of our struggles are inside, and they too are legion. Guilt. What I should have done, what I should not have said. As our confessions say, things done and left undone. Things done on our behalf here, United States of America. That's a big one. Healing, wholeness is possible when you've been touched, healed, by love, by being heard, the real you seen, honored, accepted in all your diverse dimensions, the doubts, anxieties, screw-ups, and fears. It's hard not to share your story when it happens. The experience John Wesley talked about, my heart was strangely warmed, being accepted and loved by God completely, and even more important, accepting yourself as the unique human being you are. The story reminds us, religion is not just something you're supposed to believe. It's a relationship you can trust that can lead to liberation and affirmation, that can bring wholeness and gratitude to your life. How you are blessed, how you are a blessing. That, I believe, is what Legion experienced, felt, that sent him forth a new man based on his release from demons made possible by his experience of Jesus' loving care. What is your name? What are your demons? We all have them. Know that you, the entire you are, can be accepted and liberated by your Creator as you encounter the loving heart of Jesus. Now, where are those pigs when you need them?